But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me. And I want you to look at just one verse for the sake of time, though I'll probably cover a few more. But let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Look at verse number 6 with me. Let's read that verse. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to be here in this good ministry. And what a delight it's been today to spend a few hours with men that love you and, Father, men that have a burden for reaching this country and reaching this world with the gospel. And I pray as we would look to the scripture this evening now for these few moments, that God, you would be pleased to speak to hearts through the work of the Spirit of God, because we well recognize, Lord, without you we can do nothing. So we give you these moments. We ask that you'd encourage our hearts. We ask that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask you to work in our hearts. And I pray, God, that as we will leave this place tonight, as you even would be pleased to give us life and tarry your coming, that we'll all be able to say as a truth that it's been good to be here tonight, and that, God, it's good to be here because you have done things in our lives that need to be done, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, the glory for what you will do. Now I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was first converted to Jesus Christ, August 17, 1952, one of the great, great, great days of my life. Second most important decision you'll make, as I told the young ladies and the young men last night, is the individual you marry. But on that day, I made the most important decision in my life because I found Jesus Christ as my Savior. 20 years of age, lost and on my way to a Christless eternity. My sis had gotten saved 15 months prior to me. Well, about 18 months. And she had come home and had been talking, you know, and witnessing to her older brother. I'm the oldest of six kids. She's a year and a half, well, about a year and 4 months younger than I am. And she was witnessing to me and all the rest of it. And, of course, I wasn't interested. And besides that, I was a ball player. I played baseball when I was in high school. I played football, basketball, baseball. But my love was baseball. That was my love, and so I was playing ball in the weekends. That's when the tournaments were, and that's when I was always involved, and so forth and so on. So I wasn't interested in this thing about Jesus, but nevertheless, she finally prevailed, and I went to church, got saved, and the Lord changed my life. But one of the first songs that I learned was the song "Have Faith in God." Have faith in God because He's on the throne. Have faith in God; He watcheth o'er His own. And that really began to work in my heart. He cannot fail. Think about that. The God that we are serving cannot fail. No failures in God's program. But notice this, He will prevail. Say, you think you can run your own life, not as a child of God, because God says He will prevail. Now, we do have a volition, we have a will. And so we can say no to God. But eventually, God is going to win. You say, how do you know? How do you know He's eventually going to win? I said no to God for 5 years because God was calling me to preach, and I wasn't doing it. Now you say, well, then what was God doing to you? Did He give you diseases and all? No, He kept blessing me. He kept blessing me. Now, I was going to church. I was active in the church. That is true. But God's will for my life was he was calling me to preach. And I finally had to come to the place where I understood what that song had been telling me for the years then at that time I had been singing. He cannot fail. He will prevail. I had to simply yield. I had to simply say, okay, God, you are going to be the captain of my life. Because then the songwriter said, have faith in God. have faith in God. And one of the great issues that we're dealing with today, and it ties right in to this daring to desire a double portion. Because the great issue that we're dealing in this world in which we're living today, and that so many people are fighting, is, matter of fact, we sang about it tonight. The future. I didn't tell him what to sing. I didn't know what he was going to sing. But the God of heaven says that you and I have to understand that he knows what's going to happen tomorrow. My brother has this saying on his voicemail. If he's not there, you call his number. He'll come on and he'll say, "Hi, this is Roy. I'm sorry I'm not here. But if you leave a message, I will get back in touch with you as soon as I possibly can." Now, the reason he says that, because it might be 3 days. He doesn't take his phone with him when he's out on his fishing boat. But then he says this. He says, "And say, remember, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. And remember, today is a gift. God bless you. Have a good day. Live for the Lord today." And it's over with. But see, tomorrow is a mystery to us, but not to God. And that's a truth that we need to realize and we need to recognize. So how are we going to deal with this? Because whether we realize it or not, the world in which you and I are living today is a very, very complex world today. As I said on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour, we are living in a world where there is two philosophies. There's a secular philosophy and there's a biblical philosophy. There's a secular worldview, there's a biblical worldview. And whether we realize it or not, we are being impacted by that secular worldview. So if we are going to be a people that desires a double portion as a child of God, we've got to understand then that this thing called the Bible is very vital and very important to each one of us as we walk down life's pathway day by day. And the scripture says here in verse number 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So on the basis of what the scripture says and on the basis of what the world is doing and what we're experiencing in our world today, faith becomes a very, very, very important thing in the life of the Christian. That we must have faith in God. When I went to Rosemont, Minnesota in 1967 with my bride and my four children, I had an opportunity to go to two other churches. One was the Calvary Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, Indiana, where Dr. Robert Billings, who became the first president of Hiles Anderson College, was the preacher. He was resigning the church to go to seminary to get his PhD because he was going into Christian education. Because after he got his PhD, you that are old enough to know what was going on at that particular time in our world, Brother Bob, he went then to Hiles Anderson College and became the principal of the Hammond Baptist High School. This is back in the late 1960s. He was leaving that church, Calvary Baptist. They had just built a new 500-seat auditorium. They had a beautiful parsonage with a two-car garage. And there was the salary and there was the benefits and all the rest of it was there. And Dr. Wendell Evans, who became the second president of Hiles Anderson College, was the chairman of the department where I received my master's degree from Tennessee Temple University. And Dr. Evans recommended to Dr. Billings that I would go as the pastor or go to candidate as the pastor of that church. So I went. I received a 97% call to come as the pastor of the church, and God said no. I can remember Dr. Billings walking down the driveway with me, had his arm around me on that Sunday afternoon, and he said, "Brother Ed," he said, "you don't want to go to Minnesota. All they do is fight." And he was right. They were so busy fighting, they couldn't go soul winning. And that's why the state was going to hell. But I couldn't go. God just simply, he said no. So I'm faced now with a decision. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what really I would like to do and what some of my counselors are telling me I should do? The next Sunday, I had committed to go to Olney, Illinois, because Dr. Robertson had been in touch with that church, because the pastor of that church was a graduate of Tennessee Temple College at that time, because it wasn't a university yet. He was leaving to go as a missionary with BIMI to the country of Australia. Dr. Robertson wanted me to go to Olney, Illinois. So I went to Olney, Illinois, also called the Calvary Baptist Church, and I preached Sunday morning, did Sunday school Sunday night. After Sunday night, we went back to the hotel. I took my whole family. Every place I went, I took my family, because they were coming with me if I was going. And we went to the motel. They had a meeting. 20 minutes later, knock comes on the door. The guy says, "We just voted to call you as our pastor." So now I've got Minnesota that wants me to come, a little town of 1,000 people, 17 folks, little closed up Lutheran church that they bought for $7,500, $500 down, $50 a month, no interest. They want me to come to Mount Vernon, Indiana. They want me to come to Olney, Illinois. The children want to go to Olney, Illinois for the fact that when we were there that afternoon, they had a picnic in the park and they had white squirrels, and they liked the white squirrels. That's where they wanted to go. So consequently, I'm in a dilemma. I'm standing in the line of graduation from seminary at Temple, and Dr. Robertson comes up, getting ready to get in the line, comes up and puts his arm on my shoulder, and he said, "I just got off the phone with the deacon chairman from Calvary Baptist in Olney, and they are convinced you are the guy to come to Olney, Illinois." Now, in my mind, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Dr. Robertson. I mean, that was it. He was my spiritual. I had no spiritual dad. Lee Robertson. The reason I stayed in seminary was because he looked at me and said, "You should go to seminary." I was 32 years old. I wanted to preach before Jesus came. But he said, "You should stay for seminary." And so I went across the street and enrolled for seminary. And when he said that they are convinced, I'm glad. The one thing he didn't say is he was convinced. But I had no peace. God kept drawing me toward Minnesota. They called me, finally, from Minnesota to find out if I was coming. And I told them I needed a little bit more time to pray. So Arnie Peterson, he said, "Give me a call back on Monday." He said, 6 o'clock our time, which will be 7 o'clock your time. He said, "I'll be there. I'll be ready for the phone call." I picked up the phone, and this is the gospel truth. Now, I'm not proud of this, but I picked up the phone to call them to tell them I wasn't coming. And the phone rang. And it rang, and it rang, and it rang, and he wasn't home. And I said, "See, God, they can't even tell time up there. How are we going to build a church?" put the phone down, went out to my, well, it wasn't a prayer closet, it was about behind our house. We were living in a 260-acre children's home in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is about 23 miles from Chattanooga, where I was the assistant superintendent at a children's home there during my seminary years. And I had a little brush arbor out there where I prayed a lot. And so I started praying, and God kept saying, Minnesota, Minnesota. So I finally called again and found out that his daughter had had her sixth birthday, and the wife had a surprise birthday party planned for the daughter, and he didn't know about it, and he forgot about the phone call, and so that was why he wasn't there. But I called him, and I told him I would come. Now, I've said all that to say this. If you're going to know a double portion of God's power and God's blessing in your life, you've got to capture the significance of having faith in your God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It must be by faith. It's not going to be by works. See, Ed Johnson hasn't built First Baptist Church of Rosemont. Jeffrey Fugit isn't building that great church in Lexington. He hasn't built that. Jerry Ross is not building Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Brother Gerald will not build that church that I saw this afternoon. God will build it through the people that have faith in Him. And so I'm going to give you, basically, in the 12 minutes I have left, I'm going to give you four thoughts, four truths that I believe is absolutely critical that you understand when it comes to this matter of faith in God. And then I'm going to let Brother Fugit come and preach the fire out of you. And don't ever turn your back on good, strong, hard, Spirit-filled Bible preaching. Don't ever turn your back on that. You'll make the greatest mistake in your life as a child of God you'll ever make. Believe me when I say that. The first thing I want you to put down is three words. And those three words are simply, understand there is faith in faith. Now, what I mean when I say that, one must have faith in faith if we're going to walk the way of faith victoriously. Faith in faith. Take your Bibles. Well, probably most of you know it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Probably most of you can quote that with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall what? Direct thy path. Now that's faith in faith. That's what the Bible is talking about there. See, all of us, I don't care who we are, all of us are tempted to put our confidence in our own human wisdom, in our own human understanding. And, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the greatest of them all? Well, I am, of course. And you're barking up the wrong tree. You're never going to be a child of God who will know the double portion that God wants you and me to have. Because it is God's work. And we must understand that it's not our work today. So many people today. It's just tragic to see how many people in our churches today are leaning on the counsel of the ungodly. It's a shame. It's crazy to see how many preachers today, they're not preaching the Word of God. They're trying to be you know, what I call part-time psychologists. It's idiotic. Listen, it's the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You must understand that. Don't leave the book. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, keep with the book. Don't leave the book. You must stay in the Word of God. We need to remember that when men put their confidence in anything other than God, they're going down a wrong road. I could name a pastor, a dear friend of mine. I loved him. I recommended him to the church. He was a professor at Hiles Anderson College. I was there as the guest preacher in chapel, and I was in the early session there, and I sat in his class, and he was teaching, and he wasn't teaching, he was preaching to those kids. I thought, man alive, this young man has got his ducks in a row. Not too long after that, the church up in St. Paul, was their pastor retired, and he had been bugging me for 2 years to come and to become his assistant, and I could become then the pastor of Temple Baptist Church, and I wasn't interested in doing it. I was in Rosemont. That's where God had called me. And I recommended this young man, and he came. And I mean, God started blessing that work, and it started growing, and it started prospering. And then all of a sudden, he got sidetracked. It no longer was the preaching of the Word of God. But there were other issues that started coming in, and other issues started coming in. And it wasn't 2 to 3 years that man was gone. And today there is not a Temple Baptist Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. The whole thing. They finally sold the building when they got down to about 100 people. They sold the building to a charismatic church, and they've moved out now into the eastern suburbs of St. Paul, and they got a church out there, and it doesn't even have the name Baptist on it. You stay with the Word. Stay with the book. Always remember, there must be faith. There must be faith in faith. Now, the next thing I want you to put down is I want you to put down these words, because put down the words faith and faithfulness. Real faith is more than intellectual assent. It's more than that. Genuine faith, what I call genuine victorious faith, is in a living God. God is not dead. God is alive. And he is faithful. The book of James has been a great book in my life. Matter of fact, let me take you to a verse of scripture. James chapter 2. I want you to see this one verse of scripture, and then we'll get it. I'll get done on time, I promise. But look at James chapter 2 and look at verse number 19. 19. Here's a verse of scripture that you ought to circle in your Bible or underline it in your Bible if you already don't have it underlined in your Bible. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. You better get a hold of the Bible's God. You better get a hold of Jehovah God. That's what we're talking about. And that's what God wants us to understand. Victorious faith, living faith, is a faith that is trusting the God who has created you and created me. Don't get trusting in some of these things that are taking place in your world in which you live today. And always remember this, what will produce faithfulness is faith. Faith in faithfulness. One of the biggest battles I fought in Minnesota was getting people to understand that as a child of God, you come to church more than one day a week or one service a week. See, in Minnesota, Minnesota is the only state in the United States of America that has more Lutherans in it than Catholics. So all of our converts were coming either from Catholic churches or from Lutheran churches. But we would win people to Christ. We didn't have people moving their letters to Rosemont. They were intelligent people. They were out of Minnesota. And so those people, as they got saved, now they're babies in the Lord. So they're going back to their traditions of their Lutheran church and their Catholic church, and they went to service 1 hour a week. But you're not going to build that kind of a ministry that God wants you to build if you have just folks coming 1 hour a week. God wants his children to be faithful. I used to tell this all the time. I used to say, you can't build a doghouse with unfaithful people. Never mind a soul-winning, fundamental, independent New Testament Baptist church. You must be faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and that includes Sunday school, just not the preaching service. You get yourself in Sunday school, get yourself in the morning service, get yourself in the evening service, get yourself back on Wednesday night. Good night. God's given you 168 hours in the week. You can't give them a half a dozen? What's wrong with you? Wake up. Get alive. You're a child of God. So that second thought is critical. Because when you start putting your full confidence in God, you start accepting God's way, see? You start accepting God's plan. Now you're on the way to the double portion. See, it doesn't come about just through the process of osmosis. Now, I need to get you the third thought because that clock is moving faster than what it should be. Put these words down. Here's your third thought. I'll not belabor this, but I want you to get it down. The necessity of faith. The necessity of faith. And let me just make this one statement. The foundation of all spiritual progress is going to be rooted in your faith. It's rooted in faith, in the principle of faith. In the principle of faith, your spiritual progress will all be rooted in faith. Now, I don't have any more time to tell you anything more about that. But because you can take the nation of Israel, and if you'll take the nation of Israel, it's amazing to see how the undoing sin of Israel was that of no faith or little faith. I mean, you can see it from Genesis. You can see it all the way through that Old Testament. There's a principle there that you must not miss. And then let me give you number four. Don't miss this. Growth in faith. Growth in faith. Have a growing faith. Don't ever come to the place in your Christian life that you think, bless God, I have arrived. Grow your faith. Grow your faith. You say, well, how am I going to keep growing my faith? I just gave you a clue a little while ago. Faith cometh by what? And what? There you go. Get yourself under the Word of God. Get yourself under the Word of God. Get yourself under the preaching of the Word. Get yourself under the teaching of the Word. Have that time in the Word of God every single day. Don't get so busy in life that you believe you don't have enough time to get in your Bible at least for 15, 20 minutes a day. Amen. There's 24 hours in that day. Don't tell me you can't take 5% of that 24 hours and spend it with the God who saved you and has prepared a place for you in the heaven you're going to spend eternity. Well, it's 8 o'clock and I got to quit. So let's pray. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. God, may these four simple principles tonight help each one of us to continue to grow our faith. And we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.